Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.
Serious accusations against the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, which is holding its annual meeting. It's a sham saying that the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, is solving the serious socio-environmental effects of this industry, said Nigerian environmental activist Rita Uwaka. There are more environmental abuses, human rights abuses in countries where most of these RSPO-certified companies exist, she added. The annual conference of the RSPO is taking place from Monday to Thursday in Sabah, Malaysia, to discuss, among other things, how to stop deforestation, according to the event's official information. The RSPO has over 3,000 members from all parties involved in the palm oil supply chain, such as producers, processors, traders, banks, and investors, among others. The network had developed a series of social and environmental criteria the member companies should comply with in order to be certified as sustainable. Nevertheless, Uwaka, who is member of Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth Nigeria, severely questioned the transparency and credibility of the RSPO during the interview with Real World Radio, and she stated that it actually consolidates the processes of deforestation, land grabbing, persecution against territory and human rights defenders, which are some of the consequences of the palm oil industry in Africa. It's a sham, she reaffirmed.
Real World Radio speaks to Rita Uwaka. She is a member of Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Earth Nigeria, and also she coordinates the program of forest and biodiversity for Friends of the Earth Africa, a program which belongs to Friends of the Earth International. Rita, we wanted to talk about the issue of monoculture plantations in your region, and I would like to ask you first, which are the impacts that you are denouncing that they brought to the region?
There are grave environmental impacts of large-scale industrial plantations on people, on the environment, of course, on the planet. Because one, there's this issue of land grabbing in the name of development. A lot of transnational companies who come into the different countries in Africa, all in the name to make money, to produce food for international market. And the profit goes to their own private pocket at the detriment of communities who depend on the resources, the land, the forest for survival. A lot of our forests are brought to their knees as a result of this action by these companies who are being encouraged by the government of the day. And this has led to a lot of loss of wildlife, loss of culture and spirituality of the people, and livelihood truncation of many people who depend on farmlands for their daily sustenance, and also forested landmass where they get a lot of their medicinal needs, especially women who are midwives, local midwives. So there is a serious issue, an impact, and it's more grievous on women who are more like caretakers and caregivers at the same time. So when a forest is brought to its knees, the people that are more affected are women, because it has a hydra effect on them as wives, as sisters, as mothers, and their families affected. There are a lot of plantations, because of the agrotoxins that they use, a lot of our water bodies are polluted, especially in riverine communities across Africa that depend on fisheries as an occupation. And these affect women's bodies. It affects their occupation and livelihoods. There's a lot of threat in territories where these plantation companies exist. Activists who rise up to challenge the unfriendly environmental practices are quieted, as in are affected. They are being harassed by military or security personnel. They're seen as deviant in the community. And there is this growing tactics to bring some members of communities against the other. And so this is causing a lot of rift between communities who are hosting these companies in their localities. And it's so sad that it has continued, and it's also having effect on activists and human rights defenders who are trying to support communities to fight this cause, because we know that a lot of communities are being oppressed because these companies are very powerful. These companies are very influential. They break a lot of national laws and rules and regulations governing environmental practices because they have a lot of influence. They are even able to lobby governments and, you know, decision makers at all levels.
Rita, I would like to ask you, which countries can we say that are specifically affected by these kind of activities and monoculture plantations, and which are the plantations that are being grown in those areas?
We have quite a number of plantations in Africa, but the most dominant of them is oil palm. We also have issues of melina, jatropha, in different parts of the continent. For example, in Nigeria, oil palm seem to be very prevalent. We also have rubber, we have cocoa, we have rice, as the case may be. But the most notorious of all of these is oil palm, and it's causing devastating effect and impact in different communities and different localities. In Uganda, it's also oil palm. In Liberia, in Cameroon, you have transnational companies coming into different countries to take over their lands and forests.
Is it mainly for exports? Is the palm oil used as a biofuel or something like that? Why is it especially grown in this area?
It is especially grown in this area because there's so much demand for it. And it's cheaper to come into Africa to grab land than to do it somewhere else. In Mozambique, large expanse of land are being taken over by different companies. And this is causing serious environmental, social and environmental impacts on the people who are there. So in Uganda, Liberia, Nigeria. So the stories are all the same. And most of these produce that the big agro-commodities produce are mainly for international consumption, for export.
But there are some governments, some countries, and also some NGOs who say that it can be solved. These problems that you are denouncing are really going to be solved by the RSPO mechanism. What do you think about that?
I think it's a sham because we're familiar with RSPO principles, and it's supposed to be a guideline for these companies to follow. But in the real sense, it's like the principles are fueling more deforestation. There are more environmental abuses, human rights abuses in countries where most of these RSPO, so-called certified companies, exist. In Nigeria, for instance, in one of the facilities of the oil palm company, Presco Oil Nigeria. Presco is Belgian, but RSPO's office is being hosted in the facility of this oil palm company. There is no transparency, and that's supposed to be one of the key principles of the RSPO.
Transparency.
But it's not there. How can you judge someone who is already guilty when you are part of the issue? So there's no moral justification to bring the company to book because they are the one hosting you in their facility. To me, there's an issue of credibility in that action. You cannot have someone who is trying to monitor and regulate a body now being hosted by the company that is supposed to be the regulated.
So you're basically saying, Rita, that the mechanism is consolidating the problem then?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's like you're giving more license to cause more environmental abuse, more deforestation, and converting more forest to plantations. So to me, it's a sham.
Okay, then finally, Rita, what is the way out? How do we find the solutions then?
We have to be real to ourselves. Plantations are not forests. If you plant a particular tree over a large expanse of land, does not make it one. We should not be deceived by different recommendations and proponents to make plantations forest. We should think of real solutions, sustainable solutions. Industrial agro-businesses don't fill the world. Peasant farmers do, smallholder farmers do. And our lands are becoming more poisoned with chemicals, you know, used by these plantation companies. We must support sustainable system of agriculture. We promote agroecology. We promote community forest management, because the only way we can sustain our forest is to put our forest in the hands of communities, because they are the best custodians and keeper of this resource.
Rita, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. We were speaking with Rita Uwaka. She's a member of Environmental Rights Action, Friends of the Nigeria, and also the person who coordinates the program of forest and biodiversity of Friends of the Earth International, but in the area of Africa, in Friends of the Earth Africa. Rita, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's been nice talking with you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.